This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise BizBytes here on BFM 89.9. It is Monday, the 31st of July, 2017. Mm-hmm. Also for us in the studio, it's Game of Thrones Day,
yep.
Except for Frida. Right, Frida?
Yes.
You've not watched a single episode.
Someone tried to put me in front of a TV to watch the first one.
Uh-huh.
Not interested.
Not having it.
No.
Well, okay. Well, let's talk about what we've got on the show then, shall we? Right? Let's do that. Yeah. So we have what it might be like to have robot co-workers.
Okay. Here's this article, right? And
yeah.
It's really interesting because people always think, robots are not going to take over our jobs and all that, right? But I think it's just how things move. And, there's this research that shows that 65% of jobs in the future have not been created yet, right?
Right.
So anyway, basically in this article, it says that robots do more things to office, which some experts say will free people to do more valuable creative work, and what it would be like to have them as our assistants and office mates. So it's more that. And they gave two examples here on telecommuting and telepresence, right? Mm. So there's this guy, Kai Gorlick from SAP. He said, we'll have more algorithms helping us to do tedious office work. Yay. So basically, tax analysis, image analysis, comparison statistics, that sort of thing, right? He says that these machines will likely evolve to rely more on voice recognition, less on keyboards. So for example, give your device a voice command such as scheduling a meeting or sending a document with a specific person or group, and the algorithm will exchange the necessary information.
Uh-huh.
So, and that is basically going to save time, improve the way we work. So by the time you sit at your workstation, your tech system will likely have organized scheduling and tasks in anticipation of the day ahead.
So that's the interns out of a job then?
Yeah.
Right.
We'll give them more meaningful new work, like getting us lunch.
Right, that's a good idea. The other one that I like, though, it was this thing from Harvard Innovation Lab was supposed to be having some kind of event, and the guy couldn't make it, right?
Right.
He's from Magic Leap. Have you heard of these?
No.
Magic Leap are this company that have had a huge amount of money thrown at them, of course, by Alibaba. They've invested. And they are a company that deals with augmented reality, but like on such a grand scale where imagine if you are sat in your school gym, like as a teenager, and instead of watching a video about blue whales, a blue whale appears in the middle of your gym and splashes, and that's what they're kind of working on. But he couldn't make this meeting, so he sent this thing called a Beam, and essentially it's a 4'11" mobile robot. And it has his face as a video on it.
Right.
So everybody's thinking, well, maybe this is a bit too disconnected. But it appears on the stage, and when somebody in the audience asks him a question, it's his real face, it turns towards that person. So he's actually still watching and can see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Really like the idea of that.
Right?
Yeah.
So you see how you know, it's just going to help you. We can't be there. So there's still a certain point of connection.
Right.
That, you know, so it's not going to remove jobs. So and so this is also Goldstein said, you know, this is when you think about the way telecommuting and telepresence, the two examples I gave you, it can really change the interaction people have on a day-to-day basis in an office environment. So it says, he says here, I think it really unlocks a lot of potential value for office workers and management as well. You can have the right person wherever they physically are, but you can have that person in the room when you need them to be.
Right.
So, you know, you don't have to look at your workforce as just being, you know, people in Malaysia. It can be anybody in the world.
Yeah. That bit you were saying earlier on about how the amount of jobs, 65% of jobs haven't been created yet. It refers to something at the end of this where they're looking at three types of new jobs, which they're calling trainers, explainers, and sustainers. So trainers include new jobs to train machines in artificial intelligence. So think IBM's Watson.
Mm-hmm.
And then they move on for stuff like, you know, personalizing this and training that AI. Mm-hmm. The explainers and sustainers are new jobs that involve explaining AI to other people and how it's working and maintaining or improving AI systems over time.
Right.
Clever stuff.
Right? So
yeah.
Is it on your name card? Are you a explainer, a sustainer, or a trainer?
Trainer, right. Now, we've got to move on to something all sciencey. Frida, if I know you were in the studio earlier on and you didn't get the chance to see the video that we saw earlier on of this next story. Professor Einstein, your personal genius toy.
Okay.
Speaking about robots, right?
Right?
In the workspace. So this used to be like a Kickstarter thing.
Yeah.
So this group, they created something called Professor Einstein. He's 14.5 inches tall. So he's like a mini Einstein that sits on your table or wherever you want him to go. He basically connects to the internet. This is like the gist of it. He connects to the internet and he's able to teach you and answer your science questions.
Okay.
So it's basically asking Einstein anything that you want to know. And he answers to you and he does things like he pops his tongue out and he winks at you and he blinks at you.
I mean, if you watch...
He tells jokes.
He does tell jokes.
I like that
one. His eyebrows move, his eyes move, and he's got this little crunch on his forehead when he's thinking hard.
Yeah.
You know, his voice sounds nothing like you would expect it to sound.
Okay.
It's almost Stephen Hawking-esque. Mm-hmm. So they've kind of got a little bit confused there. But the thing is, it's machine language, right? So
it is.
It's doing it on the fly.
Yeah. It's machine language, and it's also... they try to put in like a slight German accent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why it cuts off a bit. Like, they try to get it, but it's not quite right.
Right.
But then, this is by Hanson Robotics. So if you've seen like those YouTube videos, there's one with the woman, and she has like the... You can look at like her robot brain, and she's trying to answer questions on the fly as well. Looks very creepy, but also like super realistic.
Right.
So these are the guys behind Professor Einstein.
Right.
What it says is that to be effective, he needs to be constantly connected to the Wi-Fi network. I mean, he needs to be connected to the internet. Without, then he's just a robot that you can play like apps on.
Arvin, I want you to read that line about paragraph about how he charges.
Okay, so since we're going there...
you're going to love this. You're going to love this.
Okay, so you see, to recharge him, right, so you need to plug the rechargeable batteries into his legs, pull down his pants to flick on the power switch on his posterior, and download the free Steinomatic app for iOS or Android.
Did the video show that?
No. Thankfully not.
That's the Einstein After Dark stuff that they don't show in the videos. You know? That's the part that's a bit NFS stuff.
He was a man ahead of his time.
Oh, yeah, he was. So what else is that? Yeah, so they say that this is for ages 13 and up, but it's also good for kids below the age of 8. It's basically like a super interactive robot that helps them learn a lot of like questions that they have about science, and you also get like these different cards. So what happens is you download these cards from the Hanson app, and then you put it in front of Professor Einstein, and then each one is like, it's either biology or it's astronomy or it's physics, and then you get to learn about the subjects in that card.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
This is all these conversations in the car when you were growing up, right?
Yeah.
And asking your dad, why is the sky blue?
Correct, correct. I was telling Arvin, this is not necessarily a new idea. I had something very similar when I was a kid. I say when I was a kid. I actually bought it when I was a teenager because it was so cool. Mm-hmm. It's a robot that stands about 2 feet high, and it was called 2XL.
Mm-hmm.
And you put in, you remember the old 8-tracks?
Mm-hmm.
You put in a big old 8-track, and it would ask you a question. And then it would say, give me your answer now. So it would ask you all these science questions. And you pushed a button, which, of course, for your child brain, you were answering. In reality, what it was doing was switching the channel on the multi-track. But it was the same kind of idea, just no internet back in the day. So you would have the same questions over and over again. But I would play with this thing for hours because it was just so cool.
Yeah.
You know, having this interactive thing, or seemingly interactive thing, you know, where it looks at you, it asks you questions, you want to kind of, it's tactile. It's a bit of fun, you know.
Yeah.
But we saw this video, and there's obviously that photograph that you've seen of Einstein with him sticking his tongue out. This robot thing does that. And it looks super creepy. That's the only problem.
And also
right?
super cartoony and super weird. And all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not cheap. I mean, Professor Einstein, it says that he's available exclusively on eBay for the next 2 weeks at $250 US. And then from August 6th onwards, you'll be able to buy him on Amazon or ProfessorEinstein.com for $300.
I think it's a great idea.
$300 US.
I think it's a great idea.
It is.
This will get kids really interested. You know, it's fun. It's a bit of a laugh.
But it's questions that parents don't want to answer. I don't have the time to answer. Ask Einstein.
Ask Einstein. Mummy, can you tell me about the birds and the bees? Though, anyway, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about Jimmy Choo and the company that have just made $1.2 billion, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
My word. Right, if you want to get in touch via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Of course, we are on Twitter at BFM Radio. Some music coming up right now with the Mighty Mighty Bosstones.
Build fortunes modestly. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes with me, Rich Bradbury, and
Arvind Yuvraj.
Frida Liu.
Now, I'm no big, huge shoe person, right? And having just checked the price of this particular shoe brand, I can't see myself ever being a particularly big fan of the Jimmy Choo shoe.
And I don't own a pair.
Right.
Right.
That was the first question I asked. So from what I found out, an average pair of Jimmy Choo shoes ranges between 5,000 and 8,000 ringgit.
Mm.
Right. If you're buying on the website right now, they have a 50% off deal.
Right.
Just to let you know. So I just found out that, of course, Michael Kors are buying Jimmy Choo for $1.2 billion. For me, that was a big piece of news because I'd never heard about Jimmy Choo being sold to anybody else.
Oh.
Except it turns out this is, what, the fifth or sixth time?
And you, of course you wouldn't know,
of
right?
Of course I wouldn't know.
And of course we have to say the shoe story for Frida.
Right, of course.
Okay. So here is the story behind Professor Dr. Jimmy, or Dr. Jimmy Choo, as we know him here. This is a story that started in 96, you know, and it's been five times, right? So let me go through the chronology.
Mm.
So this is I think first sold it after just 5 years in business. He sold it to Tamara Mellon and became a co-founder, and this was for £20 million. This was way back in 2001, so we're talking a period of 16 years, right? And how it's £20 million to what's $1.2 billion, right? Then what happened was in 2004 that grew again, and they sold it for £100 million, and that was to with a management back deal with Lion Capital. So that's £100 million. 2007, Bensusan, okay, they bought them, exited the business in 2007, and this time selling it for £225 million to Tower Brook Capital. So we're talking what kind of, you know, 20,
yeah,
100, 225 million. And then again in 2011, Label Lux, a division of JAB Holdings, acquired Jimmy Choo for around £500 million. And then, of course, now the $1.2 billion story, right?
Okay. Explain to me what the appeal is of Jimmy Choo's shoes. I mean,
right,
for it to be worth that amount of money, there has to be something incredibly special about it.
I think the first story was when he sold the pair of loafers to Princess Diana, right? And that was that picture of him passing on that pair of shoes. And I think for me, who really built the brand was Tamara Mellon. When Tamara Mellon took over the brand and extended the narrative on that, right? And got Jimmy Choo and your Blahniks and your Louboutins and all that and cupcakes on Sex and the City.
Right.
And
right,
that
right,
was
right.
when
the, that was the first time I'd heard of
right?
Jimmy Choo was on Sex and the City.
And that was the power of marketing.
Right.
And of course, building on top of that brand. But I think that was when it got that worldwide appeal when it appeared on that show.
Mm.
Yeah.
But I mean, as Malaysians, you guys, you know, how big was he here until Sex and the City?
No, he didn't make his mark in Malaysia.
It was outside.
It was always in London.
Funny that. It seems to be every Malaysian, every big name Malaysian
well,
seems
you know,
to do that, right?
Of course, now that he's made it big, everybody says he's Malaysian.
Of course, and gives him a datuk ship, you know. I'm not being cheeky, but I am, you know.
But it's a great story, right? I mean, it's a great Malaysian story right there with Zhang Toy.
You're right. Yeah, you're right, you're right, you're right. But $1.2 billion, though, I mean, for a shoe company.
Right, in 16 years,
yeah,
from £20 million to $1.2 billion.
But I mean,
it's US dollars.
We were kind of comparing, you know, the amount of money that some Malaysian companies have made in just the past few years, and we were comparing
past few weeks.
In fact, we were comparing it to the Grab story that we had the other day.
Oh yeah.
What was it, 8 billion?
Their value now at 8? Yeah.
US dollars.
How long
have
they been?
6 years.
Yeah.
6 years.
I've seen this company grow. I mean,
when they
first appeared, they came on, you know, the breakfast grill.
Yeah.
Now they've got no time for us.
Exactly. I mean, I remember interviewing Anthony just a few years ago in that other studio. He's a very nice guy. Now he won't take my calls. I don't know what's going on.
Richard who?
Exactly. Right. More break, more music. We've got, who have we got up next? Oh, yeah, CCR, Traveling Band, followed by a little bit of Bruce Hall. Hornsby in the Range. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites here on BFM 89.9.
Breaking Financial Matters, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites here on BFM 89.9. I'm Rich Bradbury.
Frida Liu.
Arvind Yuvaraj.
Right, so we've got through stories of what it might be like to have robot co-workers, Professor Einstein, your personal education genius toy, Michael Kors buying Jimmy Choo for $1.2 billion.
And
there's something you wanted to add.
I still want to talk about this. So,
yeah.
So what Michael Kors believes that by buying into this brand is that it will expand its footwear portfolio to 17% of total sales from 11%, and they believe that shoemaker has a potential raking in $1 billion in sales annually as it opens more stores in Asia, especially China. So you know, that's something to look for. I don't know if there were Jimmy Choo's in Malaysia. They should be.
There must be.
I have not ventured into it.
I didn't. know, just kind of walk past and look at what all the rich people buy. Mm-hmm. You know, look at all those rich people in that store over there. I'm never going to go in. You know, yeah. I go. It's like when I was a kid and I had problems going into hairdressers because there was always girls sat around and I'd go in and just sit there all shy.
And the other thing that they're looking at, Jimmy Choo's going to Men's Shoes.
I saw that on the on the website. Again, I don't know why I look. You know, it's, I love shoes. I just can't afford shoes. Anyway, moving swiftly along to something I can get behind, and this is about stupid people on their phones, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the problem with distracted walking whilst people are on their phones, okay? Mm-hmm. So this goes far beyond what we know and understand. Augsburg in Germany, they've begun embedding traffic lights in the ground in order to alert smartphone-facing pedestrians as they're walking so they don't cross the street.
Right.
Right? In London, they've started wrapping telephone posts and lamp posts to make them soft so that if you bump into them, you don't get hurt.
Yeah. That's,
these are my people. What is going on? You know?
So, right, you know what I mean? This is where you need to have presence of mind, right?
Right.
I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, I do sometimes when I'm walking, but I realize that, okay, I'm going to walk. I'm going to stand aside.
Right.
I don't walk.
It's common sense.
Right?
Yeah. So, unfortunately, in Honolulu, mm-hmm. they happen to have the unfortunate distinction of being a major city with more pedestrians being hit in crosswalks, particularly the seniors, than almost any other city
it's
in the
country. Seniors?
Yes, it's the seniors on their phone. Mm. So Honolulu have a new smartphone ban that imposes a fine if you text whilst you're crossing the road in a crosswalk. So they became the first major American city. It will start in October. It's going to be called distracted walking, and they will have fines from between $15 to $99, depending on whether you'll be caught walking and texting and how many times the policeman has seen you doing this. So back in 2015, the University of Maryland noted that over 11,000 injuries were attributed to phone-related distractions amongst pedestrians in the U.S. And the National Safety Council has since added distracted walking to its annual list of the most salient risks for unintentional injuries and deaths in the U.S. Mm. It's crazy that people still, in this day and age, cannot realize that just stop looking at your phone for 5 minutes as you're crossing a road.
And you're walking, yeah.
Yeah.
Or even if it's on the sidewalk, just don't look down at your phone and walk. Because I've bumped into people who are on their phones.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they've, like, knocked right into me. Or they don't move and I have to, like, you know, move around them.
And you try and do that polite thing, mm-hmm. you know, where you're, like, you just kind of stand there and look at them just for a second.
Yeah.
And really, you just want to think, why are you such an idiot?
And then you'd be wondering, you know, why your bags get snatched.
Right. Mm. Yeah. But I tell you what is more frustrating, though. I mean, just up the road here, when I cross the road quite frequently, just a little bit further up, people who are queued up in their cars, and you know that just for a second at the traffic lights, they're quickly checking their phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know that this person hasn't realized and there's an entire queue behind them. And they're just staring at the phone, not realizing the music's blaring away. And
especially if you're the first in line.
Right.
In front of the lights.
No, don't do it when you're the first in line.
Yeah. Especially when you're first in line. I'm just thinking, if they have this fine, and then you're crossing the, you know, you're on the crosswalk, and then you do get hit, what happens? So you have a medical bill.
And a fine.
And then a fine.
But I mean, $15 for your first offense, going all the way up to $99 for multiple offenses. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, they've tried to do this a lot. There was this, I don't know which company this was, but it was in Sweden, I think. They had like this social experiment. So when people were crossing, they would blare these like really loud horns to make them think like something was approaching or like a 18-wheeler or something.
Yeah.
And then they would turn around and get shocked, like drop what they were holding. And then there would be like a camera nearby that would snap their picture and then upload it immediately to like a bus stand, to like the side of a bus stand, so they could see their own faces or what they look like when they thought they were going to die.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. So they could look at their own faces in that moment of shock.
And also brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Also brilliant. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah.
We have a crossing just outside here. We should totally put one of those in. There's a bus stop. There's everything. We've got the tech.
And see the number of faces that pop up.
We could do this. You know, there's a university college just across the street. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Perfect. Perfect. Social experiment incoming.
Yeah. I want to find the one person who's not shocked at all.
Right.
When he's like in the middle and then you hear like the horn, he's just like, whatever.
It's my time.
Yeah.
That's it.
He's made peace with it.
I made my peace.
In that second.
All right, time for a short break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some of the events that you should be attending in this forthcoming week anyway. Right, we've got some music coming up now from Land of Talk, followed by a little bit of Third Eye Blind here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Bigotry Free Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
All right, folks, it's come to that time of the show where we tell you some of the things you should be up and doing this week. Frida, what have you got for us?
Oh, I've got for you, this is, I think, really good, how to set up and operate your business. This is happening on Wednesday, this Wednesday from 2 to 3:30 p.m. and it's at Work Glow Damansara. So it's being organized by MDEC and Malaysia Digital Hub, and it's part of the Hack the Law Education Series. It's about the fundamental understanding and basic interpretation of the laws and policies that are important to running a business. So what they'll be covering, though, is learn to decide how to choose the best structure for your business to be attractive for potential suitors and manage risk. A lot of people don't know, you know, the basics. Yep. Learn simple solutions to protect your business. Understand the various means of structuring your fundraising and how to protect your ideas. So you can go to ptix.com. Just look out for how to set up and operate your business.
Lovely, lovely, lovely.
Mm-hmm. And then we also have an event that's happening today, actually. It's happening from 7:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. It's called The Pitch Episode 13, Hacking News Media. It's happening. Yeah, yeah. It's happening at Glomec Damansara. Tickets are $10. So it's basically about the way people consume media has evolved over the years, from traditional print media to desktop computers and now mobile devices. You know, they've come into the picture. So this event is about how would technology impact and evolve the future of news media. What kind of apps will our budding coders build? Will one of these apps potentially become a necessity in our lives? And, you know, these are the kind of questions that they're going to explore in this event. You should also attend the event if you're interested in coding, if you're an aspiring software developer, if you're looking for a potential startup or business partners, and if you're interested in new innovative tech solutions related to news media. You can get your tickets at ptix.com. Just look for Next Academy or The Pitch Episode 13.
Sounds very cool. Mm-hmm. Also, if you if your interest was piqued by Arvin's Five for Fortune episode just a couple of weeks ago about cryptocurrency, there's probably something you should attend on this Friday, in fact. Friday the 4th of August, between 2:30 and 4 p.m., it's cryptocurrency, also known as digital or virtual currency trend. This is happening at IOI Boulevard on Jalan Kenari 5. Tickets are free, and it's a casual meetup to talk about cryptocurrency. So many people are skeptical and curious about the legitimacy, security, and transactability. Is that even a word?
Yeah. It is today.
Is it?
It is today, yeah.
Right. And transactability of cryptocurrencies. So it's a casual way to meet up with like-minded and equally curious people who want to learn more and share their knowledge about digital currency. So it will also cover a fast and furious description of blockchain, which, of course, is fundamental if you're interested in cryptocurrencies. What are cryptocurrencies and digital virtual currencies? How to deal with exchange rates, past, current, and future payment methods, and how you can gain from cryptocurrency. So a couple of things to remember. It's a free event, but the organizers do ask that you at least purchase a drink, non-alcoholic, to support the venue. Of course, you can find out more details over at ptix.com. That's P-E-A-T-I-X.com.
Mm-hmm. Are they also selling alcoholic drinks, though?
I would assume they might well be. Right, so the stories that we got through today, we started off with what it would be like if you were to have robot co-workers. That was Frida's story.
And then we moved into a little mini Professor Einstein who can answer all your science questions.
We did.
And we talked about shoes.
Shoes.
And that's Michael Kors buying Jimmy Choo for $1.2 billion.
And how Honolulu are imposing a new smartphone ban. If you text at crosswalks or sidewalks or road crossings, you could be charged between $15 and $99 each time you get busted. Arvin had a great idea about putting up what it could look like if you were potentially being killed at the side of the road on a bus stop.
Just to get the pictures.
All virtual. Right, so coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay, of course. It is Dato Merli Manokaran, who's the group CEO for Aspen Group. He was on the show this morning. So the Penang-based affordable housing developers, Aspen Group, recently made headlines when they launched its IPO in Singapore's Catalyst Board. The IPO targets to raise $36.72 2 million Singapore dollars. That's 115 million ringgit, which will be used to shore up their land bank, repay bank borrowings, and for working capital. So they talked about the group's decision to list across the causeway instead of the Malaysian bourse. That's coming up right up after the 1 o'clock news. Tomorrow, of course, we will be back, same time, same place. You have been listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on behalf of myself, Frida Liu, and Arvin Uvaraj. I'm going to give you some music. It's the Steve Miller Band, Space Cowboy, to play us out. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.